Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'm reading the King James Bible. How to defend yourself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, there are three lines of forces that Paul outlines for us. He says, number one, principalities. Number two, powers. Number three, rulers of darkness of this world. Then he said, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's in the heavenlies. Well, we don't live in the heavenlies, but we live here on earth. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, that word bind means to permit, to call lawful. Whatever we bind on earth, in other words, there's something you do, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The heaven and the heavenlies above us, where there are spiritual forces that are arrayed against us who want to come and penetrate in our atmosphere, in and through people. That's how they get their, he gets his will done, through people. And he does that through what we call spiritual warfare. And I think there's been a lot of fanaticism and times when people don't understand things, they start thinking all kinds of crazy things. But we need to know and outline what the Bible says, what is spiritual warfare, and what we can do about it. You can't fight against an enemy you can't see, nor can you fight an enemy who is spiritual and we're natural people. And we can't fight an enemy who we don't understand and understand that we have ability to conquer and rule in our own lives. So people are afraid what they don't understand. And I used to be that one of those people until I got knowledge. Ephesians 6:12 talks about spiritual warfare. It says, we wrestle not or fight against flesh and blood. In other words, our enemy is not with people. You might get mad at people or a group of people, and you might assert yourself against them, but it's not, they're not the problem. There's an enemy working through them to get to you or disturb you or make your life miserable. So we need to understand those things, because sometimes we fight against each other, we get mad at one another, sometimes people can yield to the enemy, anybody here can yield to the enemy, maybe you did already today, some fashion. I mean, don't be afraid of it, it's just that sometimes it happens. I mean, you're not giving yourself over to that, but sometimes you do that. You know, one minute, Peter is saying, Jesus, you know, we're with you, we're going to die with you, and next thing Jesus will tell him, get away from me, Satan, you know, you're not doing what God's will is. Let's go ahead and move along here and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, King James Version. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. And you know they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of spiritual problems. They had, disturbances. They were having all kinds of life problems and with one another and, of course, with the enemy. He says, though we walk in the flesh, that means we're here, we're walking in the natural world. We live in this physical, natural world. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, our fight, although we're human beings, we live here, our fight is not in the natural. We have a spiritual, you have to remember, we're spiritual beings. Everyone here is a spiritual being. Whether you're born again or not, you're a spiritual being. So you are a spirit being, you're eternal. You possess a soul and you live in a physical body. So we're a tripartite being. We have three compositions, and we should understand those three compositions in order for us to function here in this world and be successful. And so, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or they're not natural, but mighty through God. They're from God. To the pulling down of strongholds, and you know, we talk about strongholds. And here's where people get off sometimes. They talk about strongholds. They think, you know, they have to do certain things. I remember in the 80s, there was a lot of people praying about different things. And, you know, I didn't hear about, I didn't see certain people, but I did kind of knew about some folks, did some fanaticism, and they started praying. and start yell at the devil. And if you yell loud enough, he might hear you, and you could do something about him. And they would do different physical things, you know, fight the devil. Or, you know, you get people, sometimes charismatic, they pray over the city. They say, we're going to take down the strongholds over our city. We're going to pray over our city, and we're going to take every stronghold down in the city so that we have a perfect atmosphere for the gospel to be preached. Paul never taught about teaching about pulling down strongholds over cities, over regions, over countries, because that's not Bible. It's not in there. And, you know, Jesus never taught his disciples, go around, let's go to Jerusalem, let's go to Samaria, let's go to here. Let's pray to God, let's pull down these strongholds. And so we have to see some history and how Jesus did things and help ourselves. And he says here, casting down imaginations. Everybody say imaginations. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's God's word, in your mind, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so the stronghold he's talking about is these thinking or this kind of, you know, when people think long enough about something, it get embedded. And I was listening and studying about the brain when I was in college and understand how the brain works. It continually makes more little thoughts in your mind or these little, I forget what you call the technicality of this, those, you know, the thing about it, but your brain continually develops memories. And we have to, what happens is that people keep thinking about the same thing over and over and they focus on these things. So we have to develop some new thinking. And this is the stronghold he's talking about, is that people's thinking is strange concerning what the enemy, because the enemy wants to come into your mind and plant things in you. He'll do that. And so that's where the fight is in your mind. And I've had people who told me different things. In fact, I knew one person who just really died because they, over the years, they kept saying, I'm sick, and have this problem, and got attacked. And they finally passed away because of it. And I just kind of drove herself crazy. But you can take authority over your own mind and make yourself think right. Can you say amen? You say, my mind is my mind. So God gave you your mind. You need to have authority over that. Even if it's you feel like it's a hard thing to do, then you can do it. God tells you can do it. So the object of our teaching is that if Satan can lie to you, rob you, and put things into your mind, he robs you by putting thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. And that's why it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that happens in the mind. So if Satan can lie to you and put thoughts in your mind that are contrary to the word of God, he can defeat you. So when we harbor thoughts and begin to have this lodging into our mind, living in our mind and thinking like, you know, whatever the enemy plants there. And I'm going to show you some things in the scripture, how that happens. If Satan can lie to you, he will rob you of the blessings and victories that God has given you. And God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing that we can have to live in this world. So, just a little thought I thought about, you know, a scripture that I was thinking about. You know, when people say, well, we're gonna pull down strongholds over our city and make sure that we clear the air over our city of Thunder Bay, say, for instance. We'll get our intercession team and we're going to pray and make sure, let's say Kern River, we're responsible for Kern River. And we take every devil and we're going to bind every devil and so that they won't operate in this place. You know, and so, well, that'll never happen. It can never happen. You don't have the authority to do that. And because Jesus, Jesus himself, never did that. And so, in fact, let me just give you scriptures, a little insight here of this idea. Now, you know, maybe there could be demonic forces in a certain area, but they don't have to rule you. Right? I mean, in fact, Jesus said this, or at least the Bible tells us, and Jesus is the Bible. The 23rd Psalm says, the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I shall not lack for anything because Jesus is my shepherd. He's my provider. The shepherd provides. Jesus is my leader. He leads me. And Jesus is my protector. You know, Jesus is your shepherd. And he puts under shepherds to teach the church, to help raise the people up. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jesus. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. He leads me into green pastures, leads me beside still waters. What else? Come on now, what's that? He restores my soul. What's your soul? This is your soul over here, your mind. The word restore is the same word you find over there in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans where it says renewing the mind. So we renew mind with God, with the word of God. So you can't just get rid of something. You got to replace bad thinking with good thinking. So he restores my soul. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So the valley of the shadow of death, he's talking about, is this world. You and I are walking with the shepherd through this world. The valley of the shadow of death is this world we're living in right now. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, yeah, there's evil all around you. There's scary stuff going on around you. It's your decision that you make to say, I will not be afraid. Why? Because you have a good shepherd. The shepherd protects you. He just doesn't loose you to the earth and let the enemy get at you. He puts a canopy over you, the Bible says. Isaiah said he put a canopy over you to protect you, to watch over you. So, but it's up to you to keep the canopy up. Don't peek out of there. And get out on your own. And you can find such scriptures like that. Go ahead and search it. It's all in there. And so, where were we? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff to cover me. That's the word of the Spirit, right? That rod and the staff, he'll lead you. He'll pull you and guide you with that staff, and he'll lead you, and he'll whack you. No, I'm just kidding. If you get out of line. fact that, you know, you want to whack somebody. But, okay, so, you know, so thy rod and staff to comfort me. Okay? Thank God for the comfort of the Word, the Spirit. So, he lays a table before me in the what? In the presence of all my friends. And the presence of my enemies. In other words, yes, there are enemies there. Yes, the blessings of God are there. So he's there, but so what? The Lord said, I'm going to be there with you. I'm walking through you in this area. But I'll be there in the presence of my enemies. Now, the enemy is there. It's always to be afraid of him because we have the word to show us. You know, I mean, I'm going to run ahead of myself here in this message because Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says that Jesus triumphed over all the enemies. He triumphed when he went to hell, and he was there for 3 years. The Bible, I don't know what the Bible doesn't reveal, everything happened on there, but he did go there, and he triumphed over the enemy. The word triumph, he got victory for us. And the Bible tells us and shows us through Revelation that his triumph was awarded to us. It was as if you and I went there and defeated the devil. We were there on the cross with Jesus. When Jesus was bloody on the cross dying, and the Lord poured out his wrath upon Jesus, it was as if we were there with him. Paul says, my old man died with Jesus. Well, somebody said that one of those thieves on the cross was Jesus' dad. You know, that's the whole story, but he said, because, you know, Paul's dad, I mean, he says, but Paul says, my old man was crucified with Christ. Well, no, the old man he's talking about is that old nature, amen? Can you say amen? that old nature on the cross, and he was destroyed. The Bible said Jesus was on the cross, and he was us on the cross because he took us there with him as far as it's concerned. As far as God's concerned, you went there with Jesus on the cross. And you suffered there with Jesus on the cross. And when Jesus went to hell, you went there with him. And when you were dead down there with Jesus, the Bible says in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans that God sent the Holy Spirit and quickened and made Jesus alive and raised him from the dead. When Jesus raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we were all raised with Jesus. And we're sitting with Jesus right now at the right hand of the Father. Can you say amen? That's what happened. Somebody says that, you know, there's three kinds of people in the world. Some of them just wonder what happened. Amen? I'm the one now, like you, because of the word, we know what happened. And so here, you know, yes, your enemies are on you. Yes, the devil is here. Yes, he might even follow you home as you're raking your lawn and talk to you. He might say different things to you. He might say, kill your neighbor. If I were you, I wouldn't take that. I'd tell someone and give him a piece of my mind. You know, he'll tell you, I want you to phone somebody and tell them what you think about them. Yes, I'm going to do that right now. And as soon as you try and dial that number and you think, oh, I better not do that. Well, the Holy Ghost is restraining you, keeping you safe so that you don't destroy yourself. Now, let's see. Yes, the enemy is here. And so we read a scripture over here. Let's go back at it again. And Ephesians 6:12. If you're uneducated, unknowledgeable in the Word of God, you're going to get very afraid because you don't know your rights. If you didn't know your rights in any matter, somebody could take advantage of you. And so for many Christians, because they don't know their rights, the devil tries to come and assert himself in their lives, and he tells them all kinds of stuff, and he moves into their house with them and takes all their milk and their cheese and whatever they got there and start driving their car around, going to bingos and casinos and stuff like that, staying up all night watching movies, waiting for the check to arrive. You know, one time... Well, we don't have to wait for checks anymore. We just get it like that online. I mean, I got a check from the government, right? I got a check today from the government. Was it yesterday? They're sending me a check once a month. I don't know what happened. They must like me up there. The Trudeau government. I think we send that little guy up there in Kern River some money. Anyways. If you don't know what I'm talking about, forget it. Okay, so it's a mess up there. Did you find Ephesians 6:12? Did you start all this, Pastor Dave? Something going on over here. Like a whirlwind. So here we wrestle against flesh and blood. And this is where everybody gets cold feet. You know? They start reading the scripture and you start shaking in your boots. Ooh, it's Halloween all over. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers. Ooh. Huh? Everybody say, ooh. You see, that's what happens to people. You start listening to different ones. You know, you're like, oh, you better not say it. Somebody told me this one time, I was brand new Christian. And I guess, you know, I'm acting tough like I had a big brother on the yard. You know, because you, as a young Christian, you just say whatever you want to say. Right? Can I just come here and talk to you? You know, you want to say whatever you want to say. When, like, you know, my brother can beat you up. You know what I'm talking about? Did you say, my sister can beat your sister up. In fact, my sister can beat all of you up. You get a little mouthy if you're tough, right? But you know, as you get older, in like when you're a young kid, you just say, my dad can beat your dad up. And yet your dad is puny. You don't know that, but you think your dad can beat anybody up. And so, but anyway, me, I'm a Christian, just born again, go to church Wednesday night, praise God, hallelujah, hey, I heard the message, I'm strong. So I'm working up there in North, and this guy didn't like what I was doing in my job, and he says to me, I'm going to put a curse on you, because I know how to put curses on people. Then I get, curses? Well, I don't like curses, I like blessings. And so I said to myself, I'm acting like the schoolboy, the little tough schoolboy. You go ahead and put curses on me. Go ahead and try it. And I'm driving home late at night. Like, I'm like 500 miles away from my home. It feels like it. I mean, you know. So I'm afraid about the enemy. Because who knows where he is? He could be behind any bush. That's right. Somebody said, yeah, are you one of those Christians that sees the devil behind every bush? Behind every tree? Well, I used to be. But the devil's everywhere anyway, right? So I'm afraid of this Ephesians 6:12. I'm trying to get at you because there's a lot of Christians that are afraid of the devil. They're afraid that he's going to come out your house and come in your living room and bang your heads together and just kind of like tell you to sit down, be quiet. I'm going to eat your whatever's in your fridge and just do whatever you can. So this is the idea about the devil. So here's the picture right here that we're struggling against. We're wrestling against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and we're so afraid because over in the same chapter, he talks about if you read it a little further, it talks about the wiles of the devil. He talks about the strategies of the devil. The Bible says that we should stand against the wiles of the devil, the ability that he has. And so I'm afraid, and I would be afraid of different scriptures, like, you know, 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, the Bible says that the enemy, he's roaming around like a roaring lion, just ready to devour somebody. See, I'm getting scared because I just got a little bit of the message, but not the whole message. We focus on the natural, the defeated side, but not the victorious side. And then some people just always focus on the mountaintop experiences, but never really tell you that it took some energy to get there, right? But yeah, you know, faith is not about that you'll never run into trouble with the enemy. Faith is not about you'll never have any difficulties in life. Faith is the ability to have the wherewithal to actually go through the enemy and defeat every one of them. Amen. Spiritual warfare. Yes, he's there. And I'm looking at some scary faces right now. What's he going to do next? Now, I want you to notice this here. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, let's go over there. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to show you how the devil comes. You know, the stories in the Old Testament is a story of how the enemy will try to attack you. And Colossians? Chapter 2, and let's go to read verse 14, and verse 13, let's read verse 13, Colossians chapter 2, 13, you were dead, look at your neighbor and say, you were dead. Now he's talking about spiritual death, He's talking about your you were spiritually dead before Jesus. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. He's talking about the spirit. Okay? You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature. I'm reading the NLT. And the sinful nature was not cut away yet or circumcised. When God made you alive with Christ, he forgave all your sins. Verse 14, he canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed. Everybody say disarmed. And the King James and the other version said he stripped. Everybody say he stripped. He stripped away or disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by the victory upon them on the cross. In other words, Ephesians chapter 2 or chapter 6 and verse 12, those enemies have been defeated by Jesus, and Jesus has awarded his victory over enemy, given over to us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? That's what's happened. I mean, even though we might feel sick, even though you fell over and maybe fell into some transgression and maybe had some trial, but you're still victorious. You might not look like it. You might not even, you know, but Jesus sees you victorious. And we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And no matter what comes your way, you know, we're not going to ever not have trouble and trial. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulations and trials. He knows what he's talking about. But be of good cheer. Let me see your teeth. But give Bibushita, mama. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. And there's a scripture. I like it. This good scripture. I think it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The second part of the chapter, verse 8, it says that that Jesus was manifested that he might destroy or undo the works of the enemy. That's why he came. In chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, this whole world is under the influence of the enemy. And he's here. In fact, I was just talking to him outside. I didn't let him come in. He said, you can't come in here. Maxine's going to get you. When Maxine gets out of bed every morning, the devil says, oh my, Maxine, let's get out of here. Maxine's coming. Right? And every time you get on your knees, you say, we better get out of here. And start making your faith confessions. So here's what the devil does. He'll go and do things in a natural, any way he can, and to disturb you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to lie to you through deception, through circumstances. He'll come and warn you, or at least just show you and remind you, look at all that stuff. Look what's happening over there. Look at this. Look at that's happening. Look at this guy's getting sick. Yeah, you had that. You might get that. You might even die. You know, and just continually just ranter and just rave at you and tell you what you can't do. And he'll show you things like he did with Jesus. He showed Jesus all the kings of the world in a moment of time. Well, how did he do that? I don't know how he did it, but the Bible said it. He did it. And how does the devil show you your life and how he's going to destroy your life in a moment of time in your bed when you're laying down there having your just relaxing time, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, you've seen something in your mind. That's when you got to pull down the stronghold. That's when you say, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. And you got to talk back. You know what? Mark Hankins always says, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. It's like David. He ran to a giant. He had his mouth open. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to destroy you. Here's what I believe. I believe that I'm strong. I believe healing is in the redemptive plan. It's mine. I don't have to try to get it. I already got it because Jesus got it for me. Amen? Now, I read a good, I read different things in the morning from different proven ministry that I admire and that I learned from. I was reading Copeland's thing on medicine and faith in medicine on a morning devotional. I was reading on Brother Hagin's devotion on healing and medicine. You know, the doctors and medicine is all for us. They're doing the same thing that what God wants to do and get us healed. Sometimes you need to take medicine for a while until your faith's strong enough where you can start receiving by yourself. Go ahead and take your medicine. Amen. Even take a little bit of a vitamin if you have to. Are you taking your vitamins? Well, good. Praise God. I know my wife, she takes her vitamins. She always tells me, take your vitamins. I don't always take my vitamins. I should. I got to take a gospel every morning. Amen? A couple of gospels, whatever, a couple of scriptures. So in this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly. So we are free. Yes, the enemy is there. Yes, he's around, but you need to take authority. Over in your mind, first of all, if he's talking to you in your soul, he has access to your soul, that is access to your thinking, and he'll shoot arrows to you. He'll shoot arrows of whatever he wants to tell you. He'll talk to you. And so we need to be a person of faith and strength so that we can resist him. Resist those thoughts. Talk back to those thoughts. He said, I don't believe I'm going to die young. I believe that with long life he satisfies me, shows my comfort. That is a conflict right there. You're telling the enemy what God said. God's word is stronger than the devil. The devil says you're never going to have enough money. You shouldn't tithe. You shouldn't give your You shouldn't have gave your money. He said, my dad's rich, man. He supplies all my needs according to the riches and glory. In fact, the Bible said he'll give me more than enough. You talk back to him. Hallelujah. I like it. Praise God. Let's go here. But the devil's a thief. And let's go over here to the devil will attack you. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower over in the fourth chapter of Mark. And the parable of the sower represents the enemy attacking the Christian, the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God, to take the word that was planted in their heart and give them a real tough time. So the enemy comes along, you're fed the word of God, you're having a great time in the service, maybe, and you're being fed the word, then the enemy will show up and he try to attack you. In fact, I was telling my wife today, she knows about it. I was in Winnipeg for shopping. I mean, not my own, but I just did a little shopping, extra shopping too. And it was Boxing Day. Anybody know what Boxing Day is? It's not like boxing this way. It's like, it's a tradition, I guess, they maybe made that in England somewhere, I think. Send it to us. And we have Boxing Day. There's Black Fridays and all that stuff. They have all kinds of things. Now they're going to have a White Friday where you give things away. No, anyway, I was there. And this mall, huge mall, beautiful mall. I went there a couple of times, and I like that mall. So I went there. There's the one particular pair of shoes I want over there. So I said, well, let's go to this mall. So we went to this mall, and there's like hundreds of cars, maybe thousands of cars out there. And it's Boxing Day. Everybody's boxing. I'm coming in there, and there's cars everywhere. I can't find a parking lot, but people keep passing this one. Oh, there's a parking spot right there. So I'm going to pull in there. I'm going to go as fast as I can in there to get that parking spot. The Lord gave me a parking spot. So I pulled in there, and there was a twig sticking out. But it wasn't a twig. It was half a sign that the plower or whatever just destroyed the sign, half of it, and half of it was sticking out like this. And I went right in there. It tore everything out in the bottom. And pulled out the undercarriage. I came out of there. I'm dragging this thing around. And finally, the RCMP stops. They said, you can't be driving that way. I said, no, I just live over here. Here's my the hotel is just right here. He said, but you can't you can't be driving anywhere. I said, it's just right there. Can I just drive right there? Right there. He said, no, you can't drive. I just finished telling you. You ever argue with an RCMP? Don't argue with an RCMP. I said, okay, I'm going to pull in here, and I'm going to work at this. So our RCMP happened to be right there by Portage Avenue, you know, just right. So she went in. It was a woman. So anyway, soon as she went in, I took off. I drove as fast as I can to my hotel room, but and then it started snowing that day. The next day it started snowing. I got to get out of town. I mean, there's a major. Everybody say major. See the enemy? He'll be there ripping off your undercarriage and telling you you're stuck forever in Winnipeg, Manitoba. So I'm there, and I said, so I'm just doing, how can I ever get out of Winnipeg? I got this thing sticking on, it's dragging everywhere. Where can I find a garage? So I Googled everything. Where's the nearest garage? And I just said, oh, 7 minutes away, 7 minutes, 6 minutes away. Okay, so I'm going to go over here. So I went around, and I said, I'm going to rush as fast as I can to this garage so they can help me out. Pull this out of there. So the snow was about this thick. I drove there. As soon as I got there, the whole thing came off. And then the rest of it, I had to pull it out, like yank everything out, pull it out. And so here I come home, and the whole thing, I didn't have an undercarriage to protect the under of my car. So I worked for 6-7 months, no, since Christmas time, until yesterday to finally get it done. I don't know how many times I went to Toyota and this parts place to find out this part, where this part was. And so we kept getting the part. They sent me a part. They said, I'll come next week. So I came back. I got this thing, went back over there. I said, oh, you got another part that's missing. And you know what? I did this, no kidding, 10 to 15 times. Yeah, I'm going back there. And the last time I went there, they said, okay, you're missing one little part. I feel bad for you, this guy said. So I go back there and go back. He said, okay, we're almost done. But you're missing another part. So it's back and forth, back and forth. I said, oh, my goodness, this is a bad dream. What's happening? But yesterday, I got to announce this. Ta-da! I got it. I got it done. It was done. So, anyway, I told that story because, you know, you could get mad. You could get really mad. But I made lots of friends during this time. I made a lot of friends. I mean, they know me. I'm having coffee, sitting in their office now. Just, oh, yeah, this was fun. Oh, yeah, this is a great time, man. Where are you from? Okay, yeah, okay. Well, that was good. That was a nice joke. We're talking away. I know everybody at Toyota. Fact, the Thunder Bay Auto Parts, right across from Pinewood, I know all the salespeople there. I visit them for every day for so many hours. Amen? So they say, Roma, listen. I know we worked long on that. We're going to charge you $20 for the labor. I said, great. Thank God. Amen? That's pretty good. Anyway, you'll have to come back another time about how the enemy is talking to you. But anyway, the devil, he'll give you a lesson. I want to show you something. Just give me one more minute. We're 8 after 8 here. I'm going to skip a lot of stuff. Just show you one thing because I got to get this over to you. Here in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 to 18, you can just read that at home. So this man, this King Nebuchadnezzar, he made the statue, and he erected the statue, so everybody has to worship the statue. When they made this big music and sound, everybody has to bend down and worship the statue. That's what you're trying to do in different countries, worship the statue. So by the way, who's going to win the election? No, just kidding. No, forget about that. There'll be a big fight going on there. Okay, no, forget about that. We're going to erase that. That's not in there. So here's Nebuchadnezzar. He said, we're going to make this statue. Everybody has to bow down. This is the God that we're serving, and everybody has to do it. So those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children, young men. They were brought into as a special, people there to for intelligence and working for the king. And so when this was happening, they were trying to conspire against them too. Some people didn't like them. So he said, we're going to tell the king that these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they make the sound, they don't bow down and worship this idol. So we're going to tell Nebuchadnezzar about it. And they made a decree. They fooled the king to make sure a decree was done. So if anybody doesn't do this, they're going to be thrown into the furnace. They're going to get killed. So the king brought them in and said, listen, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I want to talk to you. Is it true that you're not worshiping this image that I erected? And so on and so. He said, yeah, king, we don't do that. We have a God ourselves. What would you do? He said, okay, king, one time maybe. would you negotiate with him? Huh? He said, listen, king, but I still believe, I'm going to do this maybe one or two times. That's what some people do, right? We're talking about this at a pastor's meeting yesterday about spiritual things, And then sometimes, you're forced to do certain things. You find yourself, you ever kind of challenge with your faith in certain offices and businesses, whatever? Yeah? Well, it's going to happen more and more. So the king says, we're gonna make this fire, and we're going to burn this even higher, and we're going to throw you guys in there. If you don't bow down to this image that we made. He said, well, we're not going to do it. And here's what they said. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. We're talking about walking by faith. And the devil talks to you. And he's going to try to destroy you. He said, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, this is Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, the New Living. The God whom we serve is able to save us. Okay? I mean, even the people who actually threw them in there, they died. Right? They died. They threw them in there, and they threw three guys in there, but the Bible says that they saw there's like four guys in there. Well, Jesus is in there with them, right? They threw them in. So anyway, they're in there. They said this. Listen, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Now, if you got a problem, you got to understand this. Your faith has to be to say this. Listen, I got this big problem. Yes, my God is able to save me. Everybody say this. My God is able to save me. Say, my God is able. Say, my God is able. So no matter what it is, no matter what trouble it is, remember this next time you come up to a hard place where you don't see anything, no other banker can help you, no other institution, no other counselor, no doctor, no medicine can help you. You got to come to this and say, my God is able. Now, let's go ahead and read. He says, he will rescue you. Rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you. Now, this is what they're saying, that we will never serve your gods nor worship the gold statue you have set up. Here is something that you need to know. There's two things about that. Number one, they're going to stay in faith no matter what happens, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what the circumstance looks like. Yet you're standing in faith. The Bible says when you've done all to stand and you're standing, maybe you would stand longer than you thought you would have to. When bigger miracles that you believe for, you have to stand longer than you ever anticipated. Because God is working through things, not just you. God is patient with everybody around you, and you have to stand and believe that God is working in them, even though it doesn't look like it, doesn't seem like it. We sing a song around here, oh, when it doesn't seem like it, I believe you're here, whatever the song is. I can't remember what it is. Doesn't sound like that. I know it sounds horrible, but by faith, I'm a good singer. I'm like Joe Cocker. that. You are so beautiful. To me. How many of you like Joe Cocker? Is he still alive? He's not alive anymore. He's like in heaven. Lord, you're beautiful. You probably don't sound like that anymore. So, see, no matter what, they're going to believe God no matter what it looks like. No matter what they feel like, no matter how you feel. You understand this. No matter how you feel, faith's going to work no matter if you feel bad or good. I want to pray for somebody in the hospital. I didn't feel so spiritual. Oh, praise God, I'm so spiritual. Get out of my way, everybody. Don't let the power hit you. Eh? I mean, I'm walking into the... I was walking into the I see you room. I went into the hospital, like walking like I'm a six gun. And they give me a mask and everything. Kick down that front door. Where's the IC room? The long lineup, they have to give you the gown. I mean, they have to give you everything. You splash everything on, sign papers, and take x-rays. I mean, everything before you get in there. They examine you, shoot you, and everything. Splash on this, splash on that. Give you a mask, and then you're ready to walk up to the room. Did you see? The reason why I'm doing that is I saw this commercial about this lady. They're pushing eggs. So she's eating eggs at supper, and she's eating a salad. She says, the guy says, what are you eating? He says, I'm eating my supper. This guy says, eggs? Yeah. The lady says, yeah. And the man says, you're weird. Did you see that commercial? And the girl says, no, you're weird. You went to the rodeo one time. And he's walking with these, like, you know. Anyways, I went up to the, finally got up to the I see you room. They said, where's that victim? Well, I'm there. And they say, oh, they usher me down there, and you know. But I didn't feel like I was on the prayer. I didn't feel like I'm strong. In fact, I had symptoms almost later the other day and everything else, you know. I mean, it's amazing how things can happen, right? You don't feel spiritual all the time. And I know this, that my faith's going to work no matter what I feel like. No matter what everybody looks like and how they look at me, my faith's going to work. So you have to understand that when you're praying for someone, it's not, you know, the Bible says, you just go ahead and pray for someone. You lay hands on people. It didn't say how you feel about it. It didn't say what you thought about it. It just said, you just lay hands on people and they'll recover. All he's telling you to do is obey the word, lay hands on somebody. It didn't say how you feel about it, what you thought about it, what it looks like. It just says, lay your hands on somebody. Then you think about, okay, listen, how do I feel right now about that? No, he didn't say that. He said, lay your hands on someone. And the devil will tell you that. Listen, you shouldn't do that. You can't go there. You don't feel very good. You're not that confident. Probably you need to go to read the whole Bible again. And come back. Right? I mean, that's how he works with you. And we're so intellectual, they'll say, oh, yeah, maybe I need to recognize more Bible verses about this situation. So anyway, I prayed. I mean, my record hasn't been that good lately. But I do it because the Bible says to do it. It's not only my faith. One guy just walked out the other day. We went there, prayed for him. He's almost dead. The family phones and sent me a letter. They never talked to me ever, really, ever. Got a phone call. I said, okay, I'm going to outline how to do this. This is what we're going to do. When this happens, this is how you're going to be. And if this happens, this is how we're going to stand. We're going to be strong in the Word of God. And every time I think about this, I'm going to praise God about it. I'm going to thank God about it. I'm standing in faith. Week after week after week, nothing changed. But one day, this person walks out of the hospital. See, the enemy, he'll come and tell you things. He'll begin to whisper things in your ear. That's not in line with the Word of God. And so you have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, says, you know what? Listen, my God's going to rescue me again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Psalm 34, 19 says, but the Lord delivers him from them all. I said about that person dying in a hospital, I said, Psalm 118, verse 17, 18, or 19, verse 19, somewhere on there. So. I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to tell everybody about it that you couldn't kill me. And this problem, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. And you're really scared. So our commitment is to stay with the Word, no matter what happens. Even if you said this, I don't care. If he doesn't do it, I'm staying with the Word. And I told the Lord this. I said, you can't go down. If you go down, I'm going to go down. The Lord says, my commitment is to you. If they attack you, they're attacking me. So you can't go down. So I'm going to stay up. And everybody stand up. Lord, I want to thank you today in the name of Jesus for the word of faith is from everlasting to everlasting. That your word is alive and it's in us, working in us. It's your will working in us. It's your will that we live and be sustained and be strong and protected. It's your will that even though the enemy is there, that we prosper. It is your will to answer every one of our prayer requests. It's your will that you will answer our prayer requests. It's your will that when the enemy comes, that you will answer us and you will help us and you will strengthen us. It's your will that I overcome the enemy because your word says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. My testimony remains strong in the word that I am more than a conqueror. I'm stronger than the way I feel. I'm not looking at the circumstances. I'm not looking at how things look like. I'm looking at it from a perspective, what God says, I am triumphant. I'm a world overcomer. I'm a mountain mover in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that he that is within us is greater than he that's in the world. I want to thank you that your word says that God supplies every one of my needs. That I don't have to worry about stuff, things. I don't have to worry about money and whatever transactions I have to make. I don't care how long it takes, we're going to do it. We're winning. We've got the victory because Jesus got the victory for us. If he got the victory, I have the victory. I want to thank you for that.